Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The title of this talk is The Purpose of Sex. Sex is generally an interesting topic to everyone. If I give a talk on the purpose of Bhagavad Gita, it's less likely to be interesting to most people. But you may ask, why is a sannyasi talking about sex when I'm not even meant to think about it, about the actual act of it, and I have no experience of it, at least in this lifetime? Why do I do so at all? Is it not wrong? Well, as a sannyasi, I'm supposed to teach what is in Shastra, what is in the Vedic literature. And the Shastra does speak about this topic quite a lot. My spiritual master also spoke about this. As one scholar has noted, he spoke about this and wrote about it more than previous acharyas had done. You may wonder why so. Well, he went to preach in America at the time when this, what was called the sexual revolution, was going on, in which the old norms were being broken down and free sex was being advocated. And gender roles were beginning to be changed. So Srila Prabhupada spoke about it a lot. As a sannyasi, I'm supposed to give knowledge to society. The most important knowledge is the knowledge of Krishna and our relationship with Him. Then again, why speak about sex at all? If we're going to speak about our relationship with Krishna, if we're going to speak about spiritual life, we have to side by side understand that all relationships in this material world are temporary, illusory, and they bind us to this material world. Specifically, Srimad Bhagavatam, on the topic of sexual attraction and how it binds us in this material world, states, Pungsa striyo mithuni bhavametam tayoraho hridaya grantima huhu ato griha kshetra sutapta vitair janasya mohoyam ahamameti. Everyone is illusioned in this material world, thinking in terms of I, me, and mine. How does this come about? The root cause, Bhagavatam says, is the attraction between male and female. And when a male and a female join together in a bond, it becomes a very strong attachment, from which attachment for home, family, country, property, money, and the whole social life develops on the basis of this. And in this way we are illusioned in this material world, which is called Maitunagara, the bonds of sexual attraction. There are many such statements in Srimad Bhagavatam about sexual attraction. They're mostly not the kind that would excite your sexual appetite. They're not meant for that. They're meant for just the opposite. Yan maitun adi grihamedi sukam hitucham Kanduyanena karaya eva dukkha dukkham tripyanti neha kripana bahudukkha bhaja kandutivan manasijang vishaheta dhira. There's another statement that the happiness of family life develops from the sexual attraction, which herein is likened to an itch. And the example is given, it's just like you have an itch, you want to scratch it. And if you scratch it, you feel a little relief. But the result is, it gets worse. Therefore, a dhira, a sober person, tolerates, don't scratch. That is the recommendation. It's quite the opposite to the kind of attitudes towards sex that we find in the broader society, where it's promoted as something wonderful, pleasing, desirable, almost as if it's the goal of life. Again, you may ask, well, what's my experience to speak about these things? Well, intelligent people learn by hearing and seeing rather than by experiencing. To give an example, there may be an electric fan which has the shield so that the children can't easily put their hands, or anyone doesn't, because when it's spinning it's quite dangerous. The child may be curious to put his hand inside the railing or the jali or whatever you call it. And the parent will say, no, no, don't do that. But he may insist, no, no, I want to. Then it switch off the fan, and when it's moving slowly, then, okay, you put your finger, then it hurts. And then you know, all right. When he's told not to do it, he doesn't believe. He says, it must be quite interesting. When he's put his hand in and experienced there's some pain, then he knows. He couldn't learn by hearing, he had to learn by experience. Yasya nasti swayang pragya shastram tasya karoti kim lochana abhyam vihinasya darpana kim karishyati. Charnakya says, what is the use of shastra to a fool? Someone who doesn't have any basic common sense. It's like having a mirror for a blind man. The mirror is useful, but someone who's blind, it's no use to them. So someone who doesn't have any common sense, the good instruction is useless. So it may be that even by giving good instruction, people don't learn. And they may, even after having good instruction, they may go on making the same mistake again and again. So, like this, you're all intelligent, I presume. You presumably think yourself intelligent. Everyone thinks they're intelligent. But you're all well-educated, I presume, because I'm speaking to you in English. But all the schools in Dubai are English medium, isn't it? Anyway, in India it's considered English medium, that means better class of school. Exactly why, I don't know, but Sanskrit medium, that should be the standard. However, okay, you're intelligent, but your intelligence is spoiled by a very bad and wrong culture, which promotes sex too much. Okay, it's part of life. It gives life. You wouldn't be here, I wouldn't be here if it hadn't been for, we don't like to think about it, but it's due to sexual activity of our parents, our respected parents. But so much emphasis on it, and so much, so many strange and wrong ideas. The main wrong idea is that, well, if it feels good, do it. Which isn't a good idea in the long run. Because sexual activity, it's not just a matter of doing it and feeling some gratification, but you're dealing with the body of a person and there's emotional baggage that goes along with it also. So if it feels good, do it, and then try it out in different ways. And in the modern society, it's being promoted that homosexuality is very good, transgenderism is very good. It may be there that some people have certain inclinations, but to promote that creates confusion. Children are told, pre-pubal children are told, if you're born as a boy, you don't have to be a boy. And according to modern medical science, it's possible to change a boy into a girl, kind of, but it doesn't really fully work, and vice versa. So it just creates confusion unnecessarily. Otherwise, if we take it that nature or God has given me a certain body, and normally people wouldn't even think about that. If you have, depending on the thing between your legs, to put it grossly or bluntly, you're either a boy or a girl, but they say no. You can change that, so you can think about changing. And children at a young age, they become confused. Maybe I should be born as a boy, but maybe I should be a girl. And then there's pressure put on them. You can change. Lot of confusion. So it's my duty to speak, especially as on these topics, especially as the youth, you are youth mostly here, either youth or ex-youth or youth-to-be, right? Because old people are going to become young people, right? You're going to die and get born again. Or if you're fully Krishna conscious, then you can be a youth in the spiritual world. But all these nonsense ideas don't go in the spiritual world. That's why it's the spiritual world. Because all these nonsense ideas make the material world. But these things should be properly discussed and considered from a spiritual, moral, Vedic background. Because you may say, well, why speak to the youth about this? Well, everyone else is speaking to you about it. The advertisers are speaking about it. The people who want to promote transgenderism is very good, homosexuality is very good, free sex is very good. They're all talking loudly and you get to hear it. So why not get to hear the voice of the sages and the rishis and people who have lived honorable spiritual lives for generations until we had all these brilliant ideas that if it feels good, do it. And it's the age of psychology. It was Sigmund Freud who posited the theory that all our mental problems are caused by repression of sexual desire. Therefore, we should indulge in it as freely, without any inhibitions. And that is practically, this idea is practically the basis of contemporary society, although traditional societies understood that this is, sexual desire is very powerful and it can really, if it's not properly channeled, it can really mess our lives up. Very seriously, we can, by indulging in illicit sex, we can get all kinds of horrible diseases, we can lose any dignity or respectability, we can mess other people's lives up also. And we can be killed if you go after someone else's girlfriend or wife. Yes? It messes up families. If it feels good, do it. Well, when I married I felt good, but now I don't feel good, so drop this wife and get another one, and to hell with the kids. And these kind of things are going on. So the sexual energy, if it's not properly directed and generated and understood, it really causes a lot of distress. We should, even if we're only thinking of ourselves, we should think how to live our life in such a way that we can live happily. But actually this whole idea of living for myself is the cause of so many problems, which is why people can just drop their family commitments after so many years. And, I don't feel happy, and so I should drop it. And in the meantime, those who have, my children and my wife or my husband, well, anyway, what the hell. So these things should be discussed. There is so much propaganda, direct and indirect, via advertising in the movies and the YouTube and everything. So we should discuss this in a sober way. As youth means you have your life ahead of you. Maybe, you don't know. We can all die at any moment. But generally we plan for the future, and a major part of planning for the future is planning our sex in future. Marriage, it's not all about sex, of course, but that is the way of channeling it. We may think, well, what do I need to get married for? I've got enough money, and I can just live without all that baggage. You can do that, but then one thing that's irresponsible. Another thing is it's sinful. There is such a thing as sin, which means going against the laws of God, just to have illicit sex left, right, and center. And no one is happy by just living for their own sensual gratification. You might think that's happiness, it might be advertised as happiness, but it isn't, because happiness, even on the material, platform, happiness comes from sharing and caring, and not from simply using people for our own happiness. So in traditional cultures throughout the world, this sexual energy, it's a powerful energy, is channeled and controlled. It's just like nuclear energy. It's a very powerful energy. It can be used in a positive way, although some people, they say no, even the positive way for generating electricity, it's going to create so many problems in future. Or it can be used in a negative way for destroying cities and destroying whole populations. So that's actually a very good analogy, because the nuclear energy, even if it's used in a positive way for generating electricity, it causes so many problems in future. And from a transcendentalist's viewpoint, and this is after all a Krishna conscious satsang, it's not just a general talk to youth, but you've all come here to chant Hare Krishna. So from a transcendentalist's perspective, there will be problems. And even from what we could call an objective way of thinking, there will be problems. That if we engage in sex life outside the boundaries given by Shastra and tradition, there will be problems. We'll have, just like if a man goes from woman to woman, he'll have so many women hating him for having picked them up, used them, and dropped them. And he may have so many rivals, boyfriends, husbands, who do physical harm to him. He gets a bad reputation. So illicit sex causes so many problems. Disease is likely. sexually transmitted diseases. And then even within the licit boundaries, that means within marriage, problems are going to be there. Married life means there are many problems. Who's laughing? Those who are married. The others aren't laughing. They don't believe it. You find out later. How do I know? I hear all about it. I don't hear all about it, but I hear some things about it. So there are problems, but they are to be faced in a responsible manner. We're talking here about responsibility. Human life is meant for responsibility. You wouldn't believe it if you see all the propaganda and the movies, and it's all about enjoyment, right? Everything is all about enjoyment, 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 enjoy yourself, get money, go here, go there, enjoy yourself, enjoy yourself, enjoy yourself. Okay, enjoyment is part of life. Dharma, artha, karma, moksha. In the material religious platform, there is dharma, consideration of our duty toward God and society. That's one way we can see dharma. Artha means we have to think of money. In the modern context, it means money. Previously, money, for many people, there was no need to consider money, because if you have little house and little land, you don't need money. And then karma, sensual enjoyment, that's also a consideration. It's part of life, but it's not the whole of life. And moksha. Some people may think I should get liberated from all of this. Those who are on a higher platform of consciousness. So calm is there, but everything is to be regulated by dharma. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Dharmaviruddho bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshaba. He says that the sex life, which is not against religious principles, is a representation of Krishna, of God. So it can be very bad, sex life, if it's indulged in an adharmic manner. But otherwise, it's accepted as a representation of God, of Krishna. So, a few points. So, everything should be seen through the eye of dharma. Actually, everything should be seen from Krishna's vantage point, from how we can develop our relationship with Krishna. But for living in this world, we have to understand what is dharma, what is right, what is wrong. We were just talking about loka sangraha, and this word is there in Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna himself comes to this world for the sake of loka sangraha, which means keeping everybody together on the right track, holding things together. This idea of free sex, just be your own self, enjoy yourself, it's actually very anti-social. We should think of ourselves as we are dependent upon others, however much we may think, I'm independent, I do things in my own way, I get ahead by myself, but we are dependent upon others, and we have a duty to others, and we should act in cognizant of that fact, and in cognizant of the fact that we have a duty to God also. And that actually is our most important consideration. But for people who don't recognize this, for them is this free sex, and go here, go there, go pick up some partner, drop them, as if they're just some bag to be used, without considering that every bag is a person with feelings and emotions who don't like to be treated like bags. Otherwise, it's just like monkeys. You don't see monkeys here. Parrots came here from India, probably, but the monkeys didn't come yet. But if you go, just like if you go to Vrindavan, probably many of you have visited Vrindavan, so many monkeys jumping around. And if you take a little time to look at them, you'll see one thing they're very interested in is having lots of sex. And they're not restrained in that. They don't have marriages or social duties in the way that humans have. They're monkeys. That's why if you call someone a monkey, it's an insult, isn't it? You monkey, or you pig. Pig is very dirty and has sex here, there, and everywhere. They're very active, very strong bodies, very fit. But human beings are meant to have higher consciousness. I was a monkey once. Maybe you were too. We've all been through so many lifetimes. Human life is meant for higher consciousness, higher aspirations than that of a monkey. We wouldn't believe it if we just saw the culture all around us. In the culture all around us, is there anything which suggests that we have a higher aspiration? I don't think so. It's all about just working hard, getting money, and enjoying yourself. And the idea is there still in some parts of the world about marriage, and it's not very much defined or clearly spelled out. But that human life is meant for God realization, and that sex life and all other forms of enjoyment are available to the hogs and the monkeys and the dogs and the pigeons, then why should humans take so much interest in it? There are 84 lakh species of life, and if we are inordinately interested in sensual gratification, then human life isn't the best life to be in. We don't belong in a human body, and by the grace of the material energy, we'll get a body suitable for sexual gratification. Human life is not very good for it, actually, because there are so many responsibilities come with it. A monkey body is much better. If our main aim in life is just to have a lot of sex, then by the grace of God, we may get the opportunity in the next life to become a monkey. But you won't become self-realized. You'll be bound in the cycle of birth and death more and more and more and more. Human life is meant for a divine purpose, for understanding who is God, what is our relationship with God. Monkeys, they cannot even begin to understand this. And the humans whose consciousness is like that of a monkey, they also can't even begin to understand it. Some days they call it making love, but love means a lot more than sexual expression. Even on the material platform, it means a lot of giving, sacrificing. We think love, maybe we think it's all something like a Bollywood movie or something like this, but it's not. It's a lot of hard work, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of tolerance goes into love. And properly, love, I'm talking on the material platform here, you know, spiritual platform is another level altogether. But marriage is required. That's considered old-fashioned, as if everything people in the past did was wrong. Now we've got it right. Thanks to Sigmund Freud, we now understood that all these conditions and rules and they're all old-fashioned. Now we're modern. Now we know better. But actually, since the ideas of Freud have been directly or indirectly introduced and have to into society and become the mainstream of society, societal problems have increased more and more. For all this psychology and psychotherapy, people are more psychologically messed up than at any other time previously. So Freud thinks that repression causes all our psychological problems, but his theories have seen a tremendous upsurge in psychological problems. So it looks like he got it wrong. Maybe actually people in the past did know what they were speaking about and doing, and old-fashioned isn't such a bad idea after all. How about that? Something to think about. It's good to be old-fashioned in some things. That to be married means you have a responsibility and a duty and commitment to your partner. It's not just something out of date for old foolish people. Maybe they weren't so foolish after all. Or they didn't have all the motor cars and the tallest building in the world and all these kind of things. But even in this world at the present time, to have a settled, relatively peaceful family life is quite unusual and quite an achievement. Why is that? It used to be normal. Now it's become unusual. Why is that? Because the idea of personal gratification, selfishness, is promoted. Everyone's out for themselves. And family also means that the sacrifice means it's not just hum do hamare do, but it's more looking after the elderly parents. That's also a duty. You don't want to do it, then your own children, they won't do it either. Why should they? Then you have all old people dying, lonely. They looked after their children, and it's expected that the children will look after them in old age. But if the children don't want to do it because they're too busy enjoying themselves, then that will go. That becomes generational. And we get that. In the Western world, it's normal that old people die. They're practically locked up in some prison where they're looked after. Looked after, but there's no one to love them. Their physical needs are taken care of. The whole basis of a properly organized society should be the understanding that human life is meant for God realization. And the family life is organized on that basis also. But without that, without God realization, there's only sense gratification left. So the purpose of sex, that's the topic, that it's biologically, it's meant for producing children. Now it's possible by, not just possible, but the normal to stop that by contraception. But otherwise, by natural law, people are very anxious to be natural, right? They want natural food and natural way of living. Well, the natural result of sex is children. Surprising. And children need to be looked after. So sex is a very serious thing. If you're producing children, it's a very serious thing, bringing a soul into this world. So this idea of having girlfriends, boyfriends, little time, drop them. No. Better be married, be serious, be responsible, produce children, and look after children, raise them in God consciousness, Krishna consciousness. That means after sex means children, then they need mothers and fathers. Unlike in America, for instance, where more than 50% of the children are raised in a one-parent family. They call it a one-parent family. That means that usually the father has left or is booted out. Or it may be that there are two lesbians raise children, or two men, homosexuals, but this is not proper. Home with father and mother. The mother especially has to see to, both father and mother have duties, but the mother has to give herself, which means this idea that the women, they have a career. Women can have it all. You can have a career, you can have a family, but it doesn't work because they're out at work and they come back. There's what's called latchkey children, which means that the kids come home from school and there's no one there, but that they have the key. They can enter the apartment, that's all. And the mother's busy working so they can have food from the freezer, but there's no mother there to cook it there or serve it to them. They're alone. It's not proper. Children need parents. Simple thing to understand, but when the parents are more interested in their own career than looking after the children they've brought into this world, then the children, they also grow up unhappy and psychologically disturbed. And we wonder why there are school shootings and drug problems. People are unhappy because they became so modern and so advanced, they didn't understand the basic thing that sex produces children, and children need looking after within a family context. Very simple thing. It wasn't even anything to discuss previously. It was just went on. But now so many new theories have come up, and they're all disastrous. None of them work. They all just create more and more problems. I'm just telling you, and you can accept it if you like, or if not, you can experiment. I don't recommend it, because just a little experiment can produce a disaster. A child may experiment with the matches. Little child, 4 years old, takes the matches, and just little experiment. Light the match, and desire can kill himself or burn the whole body, so he's scarred for life. Little experiment. So it's like that, playing with fire. There's very, very powerful energy. Take again the example of nuclear energy. You can make an experiment. When the first atomic bomb was ignited in the desert in New Mexico in the United States, the scientists who'd worked on producing it weren't quite sure what was going to happen. They thought that possibly, because you don't know, they'd never done it before, it's like lighting a match, but like one hell of a big match. They weren't quite sure. They thought that possibly it might ignite the whole atmosphere of the earth and the whole earth would burn up. But they thought, anyway, let's have a try and see. That's pretty irresponsible, isn't it? Anyway, they went ahead, and fortunately for us, didn't incinerate the whole planet, although certain people living in Japan didn't feel very much happy by the effects of their Manhattan project. So it's like that, it's a very powerful energy, and we say, well, you know, I'll get married, but in the meantime, well, you know, let's try out here and there, and you're letting off atomic bombs in people's lives. And you will regret it also. If you have any consciousness, you'll regret it. because you'll feel bad. And then they'll tell you, don't feel bad, don't feel bad. Why feel bad? Feel good. You should feel good about it. Well, what's all these rules and morality? But it's too late for you because you've all been coming to our Hare Krishna satsangs and you already have some idea of what is right and what is wrong. So I'm not saying that you would try it, but there are others who you may know who will try it out left, right and center, but many times they feel very bad inside. Oh, why did I do that? It's just not right. Children need and deserve stable homes and stable parents. Right? Simple thing to understand. In many, if not most cases, it's not happening more and more in the modern world. And then there are people who they get together for sex, but then they don't want to have children. They get married and don't have children. Or they think they'll get children. First of all, I'll develop my career. Then when the woman's 35 years old, they don't realize that the body it's not as fertile and productive at the age of 35 as it was at the age of 15. And then they have problems having children and they feel horrible because they can't have children. So many problems. They have pills to stop. Conception, that's called contraception. If the pills don't work, they have other pills to destroy whatever's going on down there. And if those pills don't work, they have tongs and different incisors and different systems for destroying the embryo in the womb. It's very sinful. Abortion is very sinful. Very, very sinful. So, better than getting entangled in all this difficulty, either don't engage in it at all in this lifetime and simply give our life to Krishna, which is going to be difficult for most, but if those who can do it, let them do it. And for others, let them live a respectable, dharmic life, religious life, in which that powerful sexual energy is channeled toward producing children who are to be raised in God consciousness as far as is possible in this very bad age. You don't even see the worst of it living here. But it's a very, very, very bad age and getting so bad so quickly. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna speaks about conquering the lower self by the higher self. In other words, we have our passions and our desires, but we also have intelligence by which we should consider and not just be like a monkey. A monkey doesn't have morals. A monkey doesn't think, should I do it or should I not do it? He just does it because he's an animal. But a human being has intelligence, which is we're supposed to think what is right and what is wrong, what I should do, what I should not do. The great misconception that marriage is some license for sexual indulgence. Well, in one sense it is, but the focus should be on spirituality. That's why it's called Grihastha Ashram. Grihastha Ashram. Ashram means a place where spiritual life is practiced. And in general, the society is better set up where there's restraint rather than indulgence. That's here in this part of the world. That is, in Asia in general, it's there. In contrast to the Western countries where it's the manner of dress, the manner of interaction between male and females. It's the emphasis is on indulgence. But in this part of the world, there is restraint. Some restraint is there, which is required. As I say, it's a very powerful energy, which needs some control on it. You don't want to put monkeys in charge of the nuclear facilities, and they can press all the buttons, and they're pressing all the buttons, and then you want to put intelligent, responsible people. So when we're dealing with powerful energies, we need intelligent, responsible people. That's why in human society there's a whole problem, whole cult, there's culture and training. Not that everyone has to get such a big education, but there's from the beginning of life there's culture and training. How, what it means to be a boy, what it means to be a girl, and that you just don't all mix up and mess up. They may not even understand why exactly, but they can understand that to freely indulge in this powerful energy means there are going to be so many problems. And the degradation of society, which we find at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was afraid of the degradation of society due to unrestricted sexual indulgence. So there are some points to think on. Sex is a very important part of life. It gives life biologically in this world. And it's very prominent in contemporary culture, promoted in an unrealistic way, which advertises it as if the best thing we can do is to indulge in sex as much as possible, which is actually not only not true, but it goes against our real self-interest to think that our life should be centered around sexual activity, directly or indirectly. Indirectly, there's building up big muscles in the gym, for instance. Health is required, some bodily health is required, but excessively is for sexual strength or to attract the opposite sex, and all this fingernail painting and makeup and all this, it's for bodily beauty, which leads to the same thing. Now, we're not saying that everyone should slash their face so they have scars and they look ugly. But so much emphasis on the body drags us down to the bodily platform. And spiritual life begins with understanding that we're not the body. We're in the body. As long as we're in the body, we have to feed the body and cater to the needs of the body. But we have to transcend the misconception that I am the body. That misconception becomes lost when we put sensual or bodily gratification at the top of our agenda, and everything else becomes lost. Hare Krishna. I thought I should say that, as I'm asked to speak to the youth group. I don't know if these things are said to you generally, but they should be said. Like I say, all around you, so many people are giving their take on sex and sexual activity, but we should understand it from Shastric point of view also, or Shastric perspective. Because like I say, you can really mess yourself up. Seduction, love jihad, you, can get, yeah, it's sexual attraction, it messes up your life, right? It's happened even to children of our devotees here. Seduce them, convert them. Child raised by devotees here is now a beef-eating Ayesha. Not good. Hare Krishna. Any question? Yeah, please.
Thank you, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and all glories to you. Maharaj, I just wanted to ask, does this fate, this face, I'm hoping it's a face, that is becoming very common, especially amongst the women.
Yeah, the phase that's becoming modern, prominent, especially among women.
Yeah. Abortion.
Abortion, yeah.
And it's becoming so common to a point that they're supporting it, giving excuses or reasons, like that it's my body, therefore my desire. And some of their excuses being...
Well, it's not your body. It's given. It was given by God, given by nature, with a certain purpose. That's the whole misconception. That is my body. I can do what I like. What I like with it. That is the materialistic conception. Mm-hmm. But the proper understanding is this human life is given by God with a certain responsibility, which we have to conduct it in line with the Vedic directions. There is such a thing as sin. If you don't believe in God, and you don't believe in sin, then you can do any damn thing you like. But it's a fact that there is God, and there are proper things to do, and there are improper things to do. And improper things is called a sin, and you may think, well, that's okay, I saved myself the problem of having a child, but you incurred a very grievous sinful reaction. So even for your own self, it's the very bad thing to do.
Yeah, Maharaj, they abolish the sin concept with another reason by saying that the abortion shall happen very, very early, like in a week or
abortion
two.
Should happen early. I mean, this argument is going on. It's but we understand from the Vedic literature that, well, they say that there's no real child until so many weeks. What do they say? You can have an abortion in the first 6 weeks or the first trimester, the first 3 months. He's not really a child. So what does that mean? The embryo is in the womb 3 months, and then 3 months and 1 second, and all of a sudden it's a child. Previous to that is just a lump of tissue, right? Is it? No. How is it growing? Because the soul is there, life is there. Life enters with the other, unless we may say, oh, the embryo is not alive. That means it's not growing. In that case, then you're going to have tissue removal. Sometimes the embryo dies within the womb, just without any demoniac intervention. But the very fact that the tissue is forming and growing means there's life. If you take the fetus out at the age, or at a very early age, it may not look or be able to function as a child, but life is there. There's so many arguments why we should do the wrong thing. They're all demoniac, because they cause a highly, highly sinful society. We have peace conferences, and we say, oh, it's very bad, Russia has invaded Ukraine. And in the meantime, in our peaceful, civilized countries, we're killing millions of animals and having millions of abortions in a very civilized way. People don't know the laws of God. And because they're raised in such a sinful society, they can't even begin to hear it. They don't want to hear it because their consciousness is so gross and low. They're so addicted to grossly sinful sense gratification. They don't even want to hear anything which, even if it's very good, sensible arguments, they don't want to hear it at all. They'll rather shoot you and kill you rather than listen to what you have to say. Literally. One thing we should understand with it, although it may appear to be a very civilized, nice society, actually in so many ways it's so demoniac. Even if it was only millions of animals being killed every day, even if it was only that, as if that's a small thing, it would be a completely demoniac society. But so many things. People are polite. Life goes on in a fairly comfortable way. But we're living in an atmosphere of gross sinfulness. Anything else?
Hare Krishna.
Written question is this or what is that? Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dhanwad Pranam. Maharaj,
put the mic closer to your mouth, please.
Yes, Maharaj. Maharaj, just an add-on question. As Vinayak Prabhu, he mentioned before that it's my body, my wish. But later on, there are many women who also, I had this conversation with someone, she said that even Kunti Maharani, who she did, was also, you can say, in some same way, that she let Karna in water, which is as good as dying. So before we...
No, it's not. It's not the same as killing a child.
No, she's saying like you're letting your child in water, which is as good, like it, the child could have drowned, anything could have happened. So before coming into this earth, and if you have stopped...
Well, that's not... Kunti's sending Karna as a child in a basket, which is the same thing as Moses, incidentally, that we find in the Bible. That's not promoted as the ideal. We don't find any statement in Shastra, when you have a child, you abandon them. It's not ideal. It's in Shastra, and it's by a, who's actually a great devotee, but that particular act is not ideal.
So Maharaj, what should I reply to that?
Tell them it's not ideal. It's not promoted by the Vedic culture as being the ideal for a woman to abandon her child.
Okay, Maharaj, thank you.
There's a question here.
Maharaj, talking about abortion. So what you said, we all completely agree to it. But what if that woman was raped?
We should make a society in which rape doesn't take place. If women are protected and follow their traditional roles, and society is organized in a God-conscious way, there shouldn't be raped. Yeah, well, according to the Vedic literature, there's no allowance for women to murder the child within their womb. Even if that has come about by rape, but preferably women should conduct their lives in such a way that they're not going to be in a rapeable situation. Women need to be protected, which means they have to agree to be protected. You can't have independence and protection both. Protection means there are restrictions. There are those who will, if I was to say this in an American university, I'd be very violently rebutted. Like I say, people don't even want to hear these things. They say that women should have the right to walk around in mini skirts at the middle of the night, and no one should rape them. But it's almost like advertising, isn't it? But if you say this, why walk around in a miniskirt anyway, in the first place? What's the point of that? It's like advertising, isn't it? It's for inciting male sexual proclivities. Yeah, I asked this question actually to an Ayurvedic doctor once who studied, and he said there's no allowance for abortion. That's what he told me. I didn't ask any. Maybe some other would say under certain circumstances there are. But many times they say you have to abort the child because there are complications. The child is not going in the. It's not going in the uterus. Not going in the right channel or something, and could cause death. In such a case, they often say cesarean operation is needed, which isn't the same as abortion. Still my disciple, he's actually a doctor, and he told me that his wife, she was pregnant, and they said you have to abort the child, otherwise it's dangerous, for the mother may die. And I said, don't you depend on Krishna. And now she had the child, and the child is also married now. So... say there's a risk. Well, every pregnancy is a risk. There may be some more than others, but we shouldn't be so quick just to cut and kill. First thing, don't get pregnant outside of marriage. Don't put yourself in such a situation where that could happen. And in complex situations, take advice from competent well-wishers who are fit to advise properly. Their problem is, who are those people who are fit to advise properly? Most people would just say, just go ahead and have an abortion. You should understand there's a strong sinful reaction for that. Illicit sex produces so many problems. It's really, really best to avoid it by any means. Good means is this. What I'm saying is not what is considered PC. Do you know what PC means? Politically correct. Early marriage is better, because the sexual appetite is very strong in youth. And kabhi bhi kuch bhi ho sakte hai. You don't know. So marriage means there's an illicit channel for that.
Guru, I had a question. The whole topic which you threw light on today was salvation of needs. Everybody's
salvation
or satisfaction of your needs. That's why.
No, it wasn't on the satisfaction of your needs. Not exactly.
Or indulgence in sex is for satisfying your desire. Basically.
Well, that's what I was saying. It wasn't exactly that. That it's satisfaction of desire. We have to see that satisfaction of desire, our immediate desire, is not necessarily the best thing to do. That's what the monkey is immediately feels, and he just has sex. But a human shouldn't do that.
Yeah,
you, you may see this beautiful woman, let me just take her and ravish her, but a civilized human doesn't do that.
So the
In the Vedic language, there are two words, prayas and shreyas. Praya means that which we want to do and we think I should do it, and let me do it immediately. If it prayas means if it feels good, do it. And shreyas means to be more sober and to think in the long term what is good for me. And we have this even in secular life, that the child may want to play all day, but the parents, against the child's will, force him to go to school. His immediate desire is to enjoy himself by playing, but the parents, for his long-term benefit, send him to school. So in the same way, we satisfaction of desire, we may think, yes, let me do it. If it feels good, do it. But higher intelligence, we should regulate our lives by higher intelligence and consider that although it may feel good to do it, what are the consequences of doing it? Every act has consequences. So it's not just a matter of satisfying our desires. It's a matter of considering the consequences and taking responsibility for them. It's very animalistic just to think, well, let me have a fling, let me have a one-night stand. The consequences can be pregnancy, and then abortion. Consequences can be, because there's, if the man does that, then the woman may just feel, I'm used. The feeling of dissatisfaction, immediate satisfaction, almost always leads to greater dissatisfaction afterwards.
So Guru, that's the question I had, that all the things which we feel that gives us instant gratification or satisfaction have some consequences for our irresponsible behavior. Now, I want to understand that whatever fun we get after sex or drinking, smoking, anything which is harmful to health or has consequences, how do you go to a higher self, or which you say higher intelligence? The satisfaction which you are getting out of drinking, smoking, irresponsible sex, what is that, getting Krishna conscious or getting that higher self that can give you that same not enjoyment, but getting to that higher level of conscious?
Then you come here. You have to hear and understand. Have you read Srila Prabhupada's books?
No.
No. You should get a full set of Srila Prabhupada's books. You're a thoughtful man. So many people are telling you so many things. You're thinking about so many things. You should learn from the greatest authorities. So please, you get Bhagavad Gita as it is, do you have by Srila Prabhupada? Yeah. You get a full set of Srimad Bhagavatam. There's 18,000 verses. In the first verse, you'll find more clear, even in the first verse, you'll find more clear spiritual knowledge, profound spiritual knowledge, than you'll have in all your years of schooling. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Janmadyasya Yatonviyad Itaratas Charte Svapigna Swarat Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavye Muhyanti Yat Suryaha Tejo Vari Mridang Yata Vinimayo Yatrachi Sago Mersha Dhamna Svena Sadani Rastakuhakang Satyang Parangdimahi. What's the translation? Let's look it up. The English translation exactly as it comes out. How do we do this? Go here. Oh. Then search. New query. Numbers. One. Where's the dot? Point. 1.1. Dang. Da 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 da. Introduction. Okay. Here's translation. O my Lord, Sri Krishna, son of Vasudeva, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna because he is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes of the creation, sustenance, and destruction of the manifested universes. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and he is independent because there is no other cause beyond him. It is he only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge unto the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion, as one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire or land seen on water. Only because of him do the material universes, temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature, appear factual, although they are unreal. I therefore meditate upon him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. I meditate upon him, for he is the absolute truth. That's the first verse. There are 18,000 verses. Did they ever teach you anything like this at school? No. So time to go to school. Here's another verse. It's from the second chapter. I'll read the verse and Srila Prabhupada's purport to this. Whoops, what happened there? I lost. Okay. Kamasya nendriya priti. This is on the subject. Kama. Kamasya nendriya priti labho jiveta yavata jivasya tatvajnyasa narato yascheha karma bihi. Life's desires should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation. Since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth, nothing else should be the goal of one's works. Purport. The completely bewildered material civilization is wrongly directed toward the fulfillment of desires in sense gratification. In such civilization, in all spheres of life, the ultimate end is sense gratification. In politics, social service, altruism, philanthropy, and ultimately in religion or even in salvation, the very same tint of sense gratification is ever increasingly predominant. In the political field, the leaders of men fight with one another to fulfill their personal sense gratification. The voters adore the so-called leaders only when they promise sense gratification. As soon as the voters are dissatisfied in their own sense gratification, they dethrone the leaders. The leaders must always disappoint the voters by not satisfying their senses. The same is applicable in all other fields. No one is serious about the problems of life. Even those who are on the path of salvation desire to become one with the absolute truth and desire to commit spiritual suicide for sense gratification. But the Bhagavatam says that one should not live for sense gratification. One should satisfy the senses only in so much as required for self-preservation and not for sense gratification. Because the body is made of senses, which also require a certain amount of satisfaction. There are regulative directions for satisfaction of such senses, but the senses are not meant for unrestricted enjoyment. For example, marriage or the combination of a man with a woman is necessary for progeny, but it is not meant for sense enjoyment. In the absence of voluntary restraint, there is propaganda for family planning, but foolish men do not know that family planning is automatically executed as soon as there is search after the absolute truth. Seekers of the absolute truth are never allured by unnecessary engagements in sense gratification because the serious students seeking the absolute truth are always overwhelmed with the work of researching the truth. In every sphere of life, therefore, The ultimate end must be seeking after the absolute truth, and that sort of engagement will make one happy because he will be less engaged in varieties of sense gratification. And what that absolute truth is explained as follows. Get Srimad Bhagavatam. See, he gets a set of Bhagavatam. Who else doesn't have a set of Bhagavatam? Who doesn't have a set? Yeah, you should all have a set of Bhagavatam. Please, what is that? They sometimes say, what is that? Indulge yourself, treat yourself, pamper yourself. You see some advertisements, pamper yourself. You're pampering yourself, feeling a little hot, are you? No. So do something good for yourself. Get a set of Bhagavatam. And it's good for your family also. If you haven't yet done it, get a set of Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam. Read it every day. You won't get such things in the newspapers, in the schools, sociology classes, religion classes. They don't teach things like this. Everything is clear, straightforward, and gives us proper direction in life. So, who put their hand up? Let's see again. Who doesn't have Bhagavatam at home? Okay, so see, make a note. There's one lady here also, is it? I see, but I thought the lady behind you. So you can make a note, take a photo is the easy way, and then we'll see later. We can contact them later. Put your hand up means you know you should have a set of Bhagavatam at home, right? So that can be arranged. Can you see Patit Pavan? They're all your friends, right? Please, did you see who had their hand up? And then, who's that just standing at the back? One white, one bluish. Yeah. Yeah. And then you will see this man here. You know, just say, yes, please. What's your question? Please give the mic. Oh, the mic is for you. I see.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So I just have a question. Maharaj, so you said that a mother should always stay with the child, especially while the child is growing. So if the father is not reliable and the mother is forced to work, it's not a choice. She's forced to work.
I'm speaking on general principles. First thing is, marry someone who's reliable. That's the first thing. Don't fall in love. Don't fall in love. It's the worst thing you can do. Fall in love after you get married, not before. Love marriage is, sometimes it works, but a lot of times it's a lot of trouble. Yeah, it's a difficult age, there's no doubt. But unless we discuss these things and some people start to adopt it in their lives, then everyone's life will be a mess. You think I should finish now? There's another question here. Girls suffer more. Really? The idea that they all have to get out and compete in the marketplace, and it's all a scam to make women free and available, good for the employers.
You'd said that women need protection because this material world is cruel, and you definitely need protection to be away from rapes and all of that. But what if that protection isn't reliable? Because we are...
Then again, I'm saying, you put yourself in a reliable situation.
No, but what if your own father, because we hear cases about because we obviously know this material world is going down, I don't know, a volcano.
What if your father rapes you? Is that what you're getting to?
Yeah,
well,
like,
then that's your bad luck, isn't it? You can't do much about it if you're a young child.
But
what shall I say? I can't give advice to someone whose bad karma is so bad.
That's, yes, thank you.
This advice, it's applicable where it's practical. In some cases, it may not be. Then what can you do? What will you advise the cow to, who's in the slaughterhouse? You can't. What are you going to do? It's too late. What we're doing, we're making a society in which everything is so bad and is getting worse, and then what happens? People do horrible things. A lot of times they're incited to do by the so-called entertainment industry. And then it comes around. Then in their next life, they'll also be in that situation. No one is fully innocent. But that's another whole discussion. We're talking about those who have some, people who have some agency and some intelligence and some ability to choose. If you can't choose, then that's very bad karma.
Thank you so much. I just had another question. I'm so sorry.
Many detailed questions will arise, and there may be many exceptional circumstances because the modern society is so complex and so bad. But I'm speaking on general principles. And most of you probably aren't in such a bad situation, actually. So you can make a difference, at least for your own future and your children's future. Unless you choose to go the way of the sinful society, which you can do. You can get lost in that. So I'm just warning about that and trying to give some direction how to make things better. It is very difficult, no doubt, with the internet, smartphone society. One possibility is to completely cut out of it altogether. If you're ready for that, you can cut out of that society altogether. We have communities. I'm involved in organizing communities in India where there are no smartphones. There's no electricity. Very simple living with Krishna in the center. It's a lot of austerity, but well, they say austerity, but it's how people lived for thousands of years. They don't have the smartphone problem so much. Hardly. The children grow up without it. They grow up knowing Krishna without diversions or distractions. So that's one way to do it. There are children here who, well, I knew them before, I knew their parents before they were married, who now have their own children who are here, who were raised in devotee families. They made it. But we have to see generation by generation if that's going to be possible. The pressure to conform to the sinful society is very strong. So much so that even if we say that abortion is wrong, then I can say it here. But in many fora, you just can't say it. Then they may verbally you'll be shouted out at best. You can't even begin to say it. They'll start shouting you down. You're very bad even to say such a thing. So you want to finish? Okay.
Hare Krishna.
I have a few books. I don't know if they're available. I've written a few books which are related to these topics, that glimpses of traditional Indian life is there. Mothers and Masters, Brahmachari and Krishna Consciousness. Actually, Ramayana itself is a full primer in Dharma. They call it Indian mythology, but we want to make it factology. Bring back that society again.